good. Amen. Amen. It is a cold day, but I'm so glad we are in the house of God. We are all warmed up and our heater is very good. I always love to come into the church sanctuary because the heater is very good. Hallelujah. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this time. Oh, today we are going to do Acts 15. I know the last time you did Acts 13 and then now you're jumping to Acts 15. It's not because of promotion, jump class. 升级了,跳班. The Chinese congregation, I'm going to speak a few words to connect with our Chinese brothers and sisters. It's because of the roster, there's some limitation in the rostering. And so I'm preaching Acts 15. The next time, Pastor Aaron will take Acts 14. All right? So good to bless the Lord in listening to Him. Let's ask the Lord to bless this time. Father, we thank You so much that You have given us Acts 15. There are some lessons to be learned in there. We pray by the help of the Spirit that You will help us learn some of these lessons and help us to be able to fight fair if there are conflicts in our lives. In the environment that we are in, I just pray that God, You will help us to fight fair in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've entitled today's sermon as Fight Fair. And this, of course, is a very familiar sight, especially with the Olympics on at the moment, where you've always see the referee, isn't it, trying to make sure that all competition is healthy and people fight fair. So this is very provocative. But it is good. I think it is when you do fight, you are no stress, so no fight. So that's really, really good. But if you do fight, it is to know how to work at the conflict in a very reconciling way. That is the biblical way of dealing with conflict. So it can be between husbands and wives, it can be children and parents, it can be leaders and members and members, colleagues and colleagues, whatever it is. If we do fight, if we do have stress because of the fight, we need to learn how to work at the conflict in a reconciling way. Because the reality is this, the mark of the church is unity, but not the absence of conflict. Because you know why? We are in a human world. We are in a real world where conflict is inevitable. But you know what is optional? This unity is optional. Division is optional. That's why the mark of the church is unity, not the absence of conflict, right? Because in Acts 15, you read that at the very beginning, Paul and Barnabas were in sharp dispute and in debate with the Jewish community, the Jewish believers. So Acts 15 talks about the believers. They are not non-believers. They are not attacks from outside. They are in the church, in the kingdom. And Paul and Barnabas were in conflict with the Jewish community over the issue of circumcision, because the Jews insisted that if the Gentiles, like you and me, want to join the Christian faith, then they must be circumcised in order to be saved. So there was great debate over that conflict, stress. And then at the end of Acts 15, there's another stress. Paul and Barnabas decided that they need to be separated as mission partners. Now, as mission partners, not as brothers in Christ. So you may not be able to go to certain mission together or be able to do certain ministry together. That just means you are separated as mission partners or ministry partners, but not as brothers in Christ. Huh? We cannot have rifts in the church just because you don't agree or just because you have got conflict. So Acts 15 ended with the separation of Paul and Barnabas because they couldn't agree over one of their co-workers. It just tells us one thing. Conflict happens to great people of God. Conflict also happens to ordinary people. And conflict happens because we've got different opinions. Look at these two I don't know what animals these are. I forgot to check. Are they stags? Are they deer? One of those animals with horns. they happen because they have strong opinions, different opinions, and we call them butting heads with each other. We butt heads with each other. We fall out with each other because when conflict happens, that's what happens. You butt heads and then fall out with each other and so on. So, but you must realize that conflict is inevitable. So when conflicts come, when certain issues come our way that are not comfortable, don't say, oh no, here we go again. Say, what is God really telling us? And how can I fight fair in my heart and in the right attitude? This is very apt because I didn't realize we've got a combined service today. But this is really apt because I've got a Chinese word that can say this so very well. And the Chinese language has two words. It is called wei ji. It's very interesting. Wei xian and then zhuan ji. So they've got two words there. The first character means danger. So wei means danger. So today, all of you are learning Chinese. We need to learn Chinese because we've got Chinese congregation in our midst. Wei xian. So can all of you say wei? Wow, very Chinese. Very good. Wei means danger. Okay, very good. All of you say ji. Right, zhuan ji, which means it's a turning point. So the thing is, when we have conflict, it may spell out like a kind of danger. But it is also a turning point. And what is very interesting is the God of Acts 15 is not detoured in his purpose. God's purpose is to include people like us. The gospel comes out to the Gentile world. And he purposed for the recovery and the redemption of the whole Gentile world. And of course, God did. We are the recipients of God's grace and God's freedom. All thanks to God and all thanks to the disciples, the early church who fought for us. We need to trust that if you're in a conflict situation at this moment, God is more than enough to help you work through the conflict. And God is going to be in the midst of danger, bring about turning points in your life and in your faith. And it's true, in Acts 15, we see the mission teams increase to reach the Gentile community. I'll tell you later how it happens. And we see also the church being purified in their doctrine. These are great turning points in the early church. So as I study Acts 15, I managed to come up with two do's of fighting fair. If you want to fight fair, if you're under stress because you are in conflict now, you can do two things, and you don't do two things. So I'll give you two things that you don't do first, and then two things you can do. Are you ready with that? The first one is don't avoid and don't accommodate. Don't avoid and don't accommodate. It is always not comfortable to trash out issues. How many of you find that happening in your life? It's really not easy. Hey, all of you, how come only two hands? One hand. How many of you don't like to trash out issues in order? Be frank. Okay, better. Okay. It is very hard to be utterly frank because, you know, it's not easy to trash out issues when there are conflict. But the truth is, when you avoid, the issue remains undiscussed. So there is no dialogue, no alternative, no resolution. Everybody second guess, everybody shoot in the dark because there's a lack of direction, there's a lack of information. And there'll be a kind of unrest because people don't know what's happening. And so they get demotivated, they get de-energized. But on the other hand, it feels like it's quite peaceful because nobody brings out anything. There's no conflict that was being brought up. Everybody seems okay. It seems peaceful, but it's a false peace because underlying in the hearts of these people will be currents of unhappiness and also questions. Satan loves this scenario. Church with walls and family with division. Oh, Satan loves it. Because then there'll be a lot of rifts in the family, a lot of rifts, a lot of distancing in the church, and then the opportunity for growth will be limited. Because there's so much separation, why bother? So then there is an apathy in the church. And that's why Paul and Barnabas cannot avoid dealing with this conflict in the church. And they cannot also avoid because the Gentiles were converted by the Lord. So a lot of Gentiles came into the church. And if the Jewish people want the Gentiles to observe certain things, they cannot avoid clarifying the issue. And so the Paul and Barnabas need to have an answer to the Jews as well as to the Gentiles. And this is not a small issue because this is in the heart of Christianity. And so makes it such that you cannot avoid the issue. There are some issues in your life that are very important that you cannot avoid not being stressed over. There are some issues you cannot avoid. What was this issue in Acts 15? The issue was the Jews couldn't accept that the Gentiles could become Christians. So the Jews couldn't accept people like ourselves, the Gentile community, without being Jewish. They want the Gentiles to be Jewish. They want them to follow the rules of the Jews. The Jews wanted that because from a very young age, the Jews have to observe the commandments of Moses. And they had to be circumcised. They were known as children of God because they were circumcised. They have kept the law of Moses all their lives. And here, the Gentiles came in by the Lord's and then they get away. Don't have to do anything. Salvation is so cheap, so easy. I was in dialogue with some other faiths and they say, Christianity, so easy. Just accept. Salvation is free. That's the truth. That's why we want to preach the gospel, because salvation is free. But these Jews, they were serious enough to think, no, this is not true, this is too easy. And they had to travel from Judea, because these believers are from Judea. They travel from Judea to Antioch, 300 miles to make their point, to tell people that they are serious. But they are seriously wrong because they did not realize that whatever they are proposing, that the Gentiles become Jewish or to observe the law of Moses or to be circumcised, is in direct opposition to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why today I appreciate what Jack did. You know, you see the very profound depth of Jack's heart. He says, no one can save us. That's right. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And if you read Acts 15:11, it says, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved just as we are. So the true gospel is salvation is free because of the work of Christ. Christ did the hard work. And we enjoy the salvation. So it is the responsibility of the church to preach the gospel. Hey, we must preach the gospel. But it is also the responsibility of the church to preach the true gospel. The true gospel is, it is your belief in Christ that saves you. It is not the circumcision that saves you. It is not your human effort. It is not behaving well. It's not becoming a good citizen that will save you. It is because of your belief in Christ that will save you. Because if circumcision or human effort is the way to be saved, then Christ died on the cross in vain. And so don't accommodate, because Paul and Barnabas were under great pressure from these Judean believers, because they were teaching that you need to observe the law of Moses and circumcision in order to be saved. But they did not accommodate to the fixed mindsets. Pastor Aaron talked to us about the fixed mindsets of the Jews. They did not accommodate to the fixed mindset and the demand of the Jews. Because if you still keep wanting to preserve the rituals, then what is going to happen? There's no end to it because the Jews have 613 laws on top of the 10 laws to observe. It will be a yoke that is unbearable. I remember when I was a young Christian, my senior pastor's wife told us this thing, because we were from background of Buddhist background or Taoist background. And my senior pastor's wife said, we must not come from a superstitious belief and then have in Christianity a lot of superstitious beliefs. We cannot. If it is, then Christ's death has been in vain. So accommodation in this case, if they were to accommodate, is going to lead to a yoke that is unbearable. And it's going to negate the freedom that Christ bought for us at the cross. And that's why Paul and Barnabas stood up for the gospel for the new Gentile believers. I would say that in this day and age when truth is so fluid, now you know you don't, there's no absolute, everything goes. Anything, if you feel like it is the situation, you know, it's a postmodern sort of a world that we are living in. And we cannot avoid taking a stand on certain hard issues. And because our GCC vision statement is that we want to be bold witnesses. Bold witnesses means we need to take a stand. But my prayer is that we will only take a stand based on our relationship with God and the deep understanding of the scriptures and on what God wants us to take a stand for. Because these days, if you're going to take a stand, there are many stands to take. And the church can't be taking so many stands. We cannot avoid taking stands, but we also need to know what God wants us to take stands in. But definitely, we need to arise as bold witnesses. Definitely, we are not to accommodate to every wind of doctrine. We cannot just accommodate ourselves to all kinds of erroneous teachings. And don't give in to attractive teachings, because there are many, many attractive teachings out there. We are not to fall prey to them. We need to take a hard stand. Amen? Yes? Okay, I'm going to give you what the third president of the U.S. Told us many, many, many years ago and still stands true today. And that is, in matters of style, swim with the current. If it's a style issue or a fashion issue, yeah, just swim with it. You know, if people are wearing jacket and you like the jacket, you know, wear the jacket. It is, in matters of style, you just go with the current. Don't wear jackets that are like 200 years old, unless it's vintage and it's really trendy. But in matters of style, you flow with the current, okay? But in matters of principle, so there are certain principles in the Christian faith, there are certain doctrines in the Christian faith. Like in this case, only in the belief of Christ can you be saved. You need to stand like a rock. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, President of the United States, so many years ago, giving us this wonderful, wonderful quote. Amen. The second point is this, don't do this. If you cannot avoid and you cannot accommodate and you need to really do something, this is what you cannot do. Number two, don't be aggressive. Be assertive. Paul and Barnabas knew that it is very important for them to stress that Jesus is at the very center of our belief, not the things that we do, our effort or our charisma or our personality. He's very sure. They are very sure about that. But they were assertive because this is a doctrinal issue. They were assertive because they saw it as their task to get the Jewish believers to see their point of view. And that is the Christocentric view. They also knew that they need to be assertive but not aggressive, because these people that they are dealing with are Christian brothers and sisters. We need to treat each other with a lot of respect and with a lot of love. We may not agree with a lot of things. We may not see eye to eye, but we need to really approach one another with love because we are Christian brothers and sisters, yeah? Yes or no? So don't be very fierce with me, and I won't be very fierce with you, but let's deal with the issue. If there is an issue with gentleness and self-control and care and respect, yeah? So there is a thin line between being assertive and aggressive. See, if you are aggressive, you want to defeat the others, you want to destroy the others because you've got a strong point and you want to bring your point across. You don't care how it's done, you want to just shoot across the point. And you want to basically take that person down, defeat that person rather than solving the problem. And of course, if you do that, then you declare war and there will be hostility. The hostility is very high. We don't want that to be happening in the church. Say amen. We don't want to be aggressive, but we want to be assertive. If there is a conflict, we want to be assertive. When you're assertive, you attempt to express the ideas or the emotions very clearly and very respectfully. In fact, I would say, the clearer you are, the better are your ideas. The better you're able to get the message across. So you need to learn how to be assertive. Don't be aggressive. Learn how to be assertive, even if you differ from people. It is a learning curve, right? It is really learning to speak out more if you are passive. It's really learning to calm down if you are aggressive. You just have to learn it, okay? It's good that you learn to be assertive and not aggressive. Paul and Barnabas were open to the debate, but they were equally submissive to the Antioch church. So in Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas were open to the church in Antioch's suggestion. Their suggestion is this: we don't have the authority to decide on things. Why don't you both go to the Council of Jerusalem to meet the apostles, to meet the elders, and maybe they can help us? And so they did. They left the debate with the Judean believers, and together, Paul and Barnabas went over to Jerusalem to meet up with the apostles and the elders. They did not continue the debate, but they took the peaceful stance of seeking counsel in Jerusalem. Now, this is the truth. The truth is, the way to fight fair is to be assertive, not aggressive. Sometimes you need to detonate the conflict by withdrawing for a season, but don't avoid forever because the problem is still there. But you can withdraw for a while, right? Like Paul and Barnabas going to Jerusalem, they are withdrawing from the Judean debate for a while. They are going to seek the council of Jerusalem. You can de-escalate the conflict. Don't add fire to fire. What happens when you add fire to fire? Boom, more fire, right? Some of us put bombs in. Don't fight fire with fire. Same thing goes with families, huh? If someone is hot, don't make them hotter. Don't make them sweat. Don't put more fire, huh? Just de-escalate. Move away. Withdraw for a season and seek clarity. In this case, they sought clarity from the right authorities, which is the Council of Jerusalem, where Peter and James formed the council of. Is that okay? Is that hard to be assertive? Is that hard not to be aggressive? All right, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us be able to regulate, huh? Sometimes it's really hard to regulate what is aggressive and what is assertive. Some people are very assertive, but they sound very aggressive. And then you don't know how to talk with them anymore. Don't avoid. With people who are very assertive or aggressive, don't avoid them. Don't have to accommodate and say, oh, because they are the strong ones, therefore we've got to follow. No. You really need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you not to avoid, not to accommodate, to be clear, and not to be afraid of people who are assertive or aggressive. Amen? That's a way to fight fair. If not, then you'll be sitting at a corner crying all the time. because you want to avoid and not have to deal with the conflict forever. But you can't. The conflict is still going to be there. All right? But you can always approach the person and then don't be aggressive, but be assertive. Clearly state your points. I'm getting better at this, you know. Being able to state clearly what exactly is the need, what exactly is the problem, what exactly is the emotion that I'm going through. I'm getting better. The Holy Spirit is changing us. Remember what Pastor Roy said last week? The Holy Spirit is in you, ever changing you. No matter how old you are, how young you are, the Holy Spirit loves to change the quality of your heart. So we can't avoid anymore. We can't accommodate, huh? We got to learn to be assertive. Use your voice. Use your voice. Your voice is given to you to help you be very clear in your emotions, clear in expressing your thoughts, your ideas. And the more you are clear in your expression, the better you get, huh? You see, some people, they're very cool. Huh? Not because they are cool by nature. They practice and practice. And we have the Holy Spirit in us. We can practice until we become so regulated that even though you may have to say something quite difficult, you're able to say it quite smoothly because the Holy Spirit helps us. Amen? Amen. Okay, the third thing is this. We want to learn how to collaborate. So this is what you can do. Learn to collaborate and learn to communicate. Collaboration is HO principle for success and peace. That's what the Bible tells us in Proverbs 11:14. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. When there is collaboration, there is teamwork, there are counselors, there is safety. And then it says in Psalms 133, this is famous. We always quote this. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of the robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. There is unity. There is group consensus. There's collaboration. The Lord commands His blessings. Collaboration, very important. And then in Romans 15, 5 to 6, it tells us the virtue and the greatness of collaboration. It says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus that together you may with one voice, not many voices, one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are pictures of collaboration. And the church is one good family. We are together every week. We're in one good body of collaboration. It's like team sport. And now Olympics is on, you know, it's like team sport. It is not just one, unless, of course, you're on a solo item. If it's a team sport, we need each other. We need to take care of each other. And we need to look out for each other. Collaboration has got its value. We need to collaborate. Don't fight things alone. If you can't do it, call on one of us, brothers and sisters, so that we can collaborate and do things together. So the apostles and elders in Jerusalem, which is called the Council of Jerusalem, if you read Acts 15, 6 to 7, it says they met to consider the question. They met and there was much discussion. There was much discussion. There was clarification. There was a show of interest. There was resolution. There was solution. So what started as a conflict between the Jews and the Gentile believers became an opportunity, became a turning point for the brothers to come together to consult. Leaders submitting to leaders, leaders submitting to members, members submitting to leaders, members submitting to members. What a sight of the true Church of Christ. This is what Pastor Aaron taught us, to be submissive. It's to be submissive one to another. And it's because of the collaboration that happens at the Council of Jerusalem that Peter welcomed the Gentile believers. We are here because Peter, the early founding father of Christianity, fought for us And he says this, he says, the Holy Spirit is impartial. The Holy Spirit blessed the Jews. The Holy Spirit will also bless the Gentiles. So we get the same blessing as the Jews or any chosen people of God. We get the same blessing as long as we have faith. As long as we are purified in our hearts, we need not observe the law of Moses. We need not be circumcised. We can come into the kingdom of God. See, it's a result of collaboration. What freedom, what liberation. And then James, who was in that council itself, validated Peter's stand. You see, when we come together and then you validate each other, there is consensus, and then there we can move. We can move in the right direction. James welcomed the Gentiles into the fold of God. And not only that, he quoted the scriptures. He says, right, the Lord already wanted to include the Gentiles in the fold. And then he says, we must not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God to believe in Him. The Gentiles can pursue God without having all these rituals. The church needs to be relevant. And it's true. The church needs to be relevant. The church has a strong role to play in rebuilding communities that has been lost. The church's calling is for the lost. We are good in rebuilding the community that has been lost. It is not to make it difficult for them to fit in. I remember when my mom was a non-Christian, he says, I cannot go to the church. I said, why? She said, I don't have a nice dress to wear. Because cannot fit in. The church has got a role to play. We are born again to be for the community that has been lost, so that they can join us, not to make it difficult for them to fit in. Wow, I cannot say this. You can listen to the tape. I think this is really good. Listen to that point again. The Gentiles, of course, cannot do anything they want. It's not to, like, free for all, do anything you want. And that's why James says the Gentiles need to also have a guideline for holiness. They must abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from meat or strangled animals, and from blood. So there are things that the Gentiles couldn't do. But they must also enjoy the freedom and the liberty of the gospel. So we need to be very skilled communicators of the gospel. We need to preach the gospel. We need to preach the real gospel and not make it difficult for people to come into the church or to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is only one thing that is required, belief. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, like what Jack was crying about, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. That's the gospel. Huh? Okay? Don't make it difficult for them. Communication is key. That's why I keep saying we need to be communicators. If you have a style that you need to adopt, you need to be a good communicator. Because when there is good communication, you're able to win relationships, and you're also able to run the church very well. If you have got shoddy communication, then a lot of things can break down and there'll be a lot of misunderstanding. So Judas and Silas were commissioned by the council to be sent to Antioch with a communication tool. And that communication tool was a letter. So the council wrote a letter to the Judean believers and also to the Gentiles to explain to them that we see what is happening, we see the problem, and there are also four things you cannot do. And when the letter was communicated to the Gentile believers and the Judean community, the people read it and were glad for its encouraging message. I think we need to start writing again. We need to write to encourage, write to encourage. If you see a need and you couldn't reach them, write and encourage, because the written form is very, very powerful. Not only that, Judas and Silas are prophets. So prophets, people with prophetic gifts, are not doom and gloom people. they actually prophesy life into the church. So if you've got a gifting of prophecy, then you prophesy life into the church. That's how you communicate. You communicate encouragement, you communicate life, and you communicate your love and your faith to one another so that we can grow in the faith. Even when there's difficulty, when there is conflict, we are not conflicted. Amen. Don't always want to solve problems. Learn also to communicate by spending time. Silas and Judas were sent to Judea, believers, and also the Gentile believers, and they spent time. Acts 15:30-34 says, after spending some time there, they were sent off by the believers with the blessing of peace to return to those who had sent them. Spend time. We need to spend more time together. Love each other. Have fun with each other. Then there'll be less conflict. It's true. The family that plays together have lesser conflict. Why would you have conflict if you always have fun together? Right? So we need to spend more time, write encouraging notes to each other, encourage one another. If you've got a gift of prophecy, prophesy over your brothers and sisters. It must be encouraging. Don't prophesy things that are doom and gloom, very scary, and then people get very scared. The church always proclaim scary messages. Then what happened to good news? So praise the Lord. So we need to learn to collaborate and to communicate. And the last one is we need to learn to compromise and cooperate. I don't mean compromise with the doctrine. I mean compromise with each other. Because Paul and Barnabas differed in their mission trip and their mission plans and their mission values. You see, Paul wanted to go and visit the believers in all the towns where they have preached. And so he asked Barnabas to come along. And that's why today we heard about Nias. Okay, pastor is going. Okay, Marie, you coming. Okay, Freddie, you coming. Deanna, you coming. You know, Paul wanted Barnabas to come along. Hey, come and let's go and visit the churches. And Barnabas says, yeah, I don't mind. It's really good. Let's go and visit the churches everywhere in all the towns. But they had a sharp disagreement. Again, conflict. You see, the ending with conflict. Again, problem. The problem is Paul doesn't want to bring John Mark because John Mark had a bad track record. Because last time John Mark was in Pamphylia, and John Mark said, oh, this is too hard, too difficult. And John Mark left the mission work in Pamphylia and went home. So Paul says, I'm not going to use this guy, you know, bad record, you know. I'm not going to risk my reputation and the work of God by bringing him wherever we go. And so he told Barnabas, you can go, but John Mark cannot go. Oh, problem. But Barnabas wanted to bring John Mark because John Mark is Barnabas' cousin. So Barnabas, you know, Barnabas was the one who brought Paul into the favor of the council. So Barnabas is a very, you know, come, let's go, party together, you know. He wants to include more people. And even though John Mark was not a very good helper, he's okay, can bring along. So anyway, they had a sharp disagreement. Both of them have got valid reasons, but both of them backed a little from their position, right? And so what happens was, in an impasse, you need to seek a compromise. And the compromise was, Paul brought Silas. And then John Mark went together with Barnabas. And they both went to different mission fields to visit the churches. And Paul and Silas, you know, the prison doors open because the people were praying for them. So Paul and Silas had beautiful encounters and beautiful time together. The Spirit of God used them. And Paul was able to be a mentor to Silas. So things happen. See, it is the parting of company of two mission partners, but it is not a severing of relationship or the burning of a brotherly bridge. If you can't do ministry together, don't do ministry together. But still be brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Amen. And we also realize later that Paul actually asked for John Mark. Later, if you read 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul asked for John Mark to come along Because he says that John Mark is very useful for Paul in ministry at the time. So they're not severed brothers and sisters, all right? It's a delayed sort of action, but they were still able to work together as ministry partners, not as enemies. And Paul also spoke very well of Barnabas. In 1 Corinthians 9:6, he says, please consider Barnabas because he is worthy of paid work because he works really hard for the gospel. Conflict is inevitable, but know how to fight fair. And conflict in the redemptive hands of God can also lead to turning points in your life and turning points in the church. Do not be afraid of it. Because in this case, it led to the formation of two mission teams. They had more mission ground. There was an increase of ministry partners. And also, Paul was able to mentor Silas. And all these happened because the Antioch church commended Paul and Silas, Barnabas and John Mark to the grace of God. It is not an argument that they all went out of the door angry. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't be aggressive. Be assertive and also let the grace of God bring you to places that He wants to bring us to. The compromise between the two brothers led to a cooperation. Max Lucado, in conclusion, says this: conflict is inevitable. Combat is optional. How we respond will determine whether the outcome of the conflict is destructive or is constructive. And we can resolve conflict in a way that is not destructive to the work of God, not to the relationship with other people, not to our emotions and our well-being. We can call on our Lord Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the God who is more than enough, the El Shaddai. Fight fair. A Christian in conflict must fight differently from a non-Christian. If not, then there's no difference between you and a Christian, non-Christian person, because we have principles from the Lord to help us. So don't avoid, don't accommodate, don't be aggressive, be assertive, collaborate and be communicative, compromise and cooperate. And last of all, in the words of Kerry Newhoff, he says, let's be that growing church that handles conflict directly, biblically, humbly, and healthily. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we live in a world that is real and full of challenges, and sometimes we can fall into conflict one with the other. I pray today, dear Lord, whatever it is, if people are going through conflict at this time, may you reveal ideas, may you reveal yourself to us so that, Lord, we are able to fight fair. We're able to handle conflicts as they come, and still be able to maintain the brotherhood and the sisterhood in the faith. Father, I pray for your people to be skillful and to be full of the peace of God, so full of the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to deal with difficult issues and be able to come out victorious and peaceful and harmonious and united. Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace for sharing with us Acts 15 so that we are better equipped and better prepared. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.